morning, everybody. It's so good to be here. Welcome to all the visitors. God is good all the time. Phil has just asked us to speak about a specific topic, and so I'm just going to jump straight in. We're in a race, aren't we? All of us are in a race, and for each one of us, it will look different. So I'm going to read to you just a few bits in the Word. If you can turn to Philippians 3 or use your tablet or your phone or whatever you have. And we'll read a bit from Corinthians and a bit from Hebrews. I want to say, you're not here by chance. God has brought you here this morning. There's a reason why you're in the church. I love the church. I love the family of God. I love the people of God. I love the people that are outside too. But I love the family. And Jesus loves the family. What a privilege it is to know Jesus. How wonderful that we can have someone that is our comforter, our best friend, someone that gives us wisdom. It's like I've always said to the kids, you know, it's like you're carrying this powerful being on the inside of you into school. When they know Jesus and they go into school, they're not on their own. We're so glad that the girls that are out in South Africa, where we are not there, that they know Jesus. Because if you have Jesus, you have a power in you that raised him from the dead. It's not any kind of power. It's an amazing power. Okay. So, if I could title this message today, I would call it Getting Back on Track, or There's Blessing in the Pressing. So, Philippians 3, verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, you can just listen. The Word of God is powerful. It can change things. Verse 12 says, "Not that I have already obtained this goal of being Christ-like or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I've made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, press on towards the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Okay, so remember that. We haven't already attained it, but we're pressing on to take hold. Just want to read to you another portion of scripture. This is in Corinthians. You can turn there or you can listen. This is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24-27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run their very best to win? We know that, don't we? But only one receives the prize. Then the Bible says, "Now run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now every athlete who goes into training and completes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things." We can do with a bit of that, can't we? "They do it to win a crown that withers, but we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just like shadow boxing. I have a goal in mind. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body I make it my slave, so that after I've preached this gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified or unfit for service. So I think this just says we need a goal, we need discipline. One more scripture. This is from Hebrews. I love this one. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and sin, which so easily and cleverly entangles us. We cannot run that race with baggage. Let us run with endurance and active persistence this race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, we'll stop there. Pressing on, taking hold, moving into more discipline by the grace of God. Leaving aside everything that entangles us and everything that's in our way. I want to show you a clip. It's a very short clip, just over a minute, of a marathon runner. Just have a look what happened to him. That's amazing, isn't it? Thank you. So, what happened there, you saw that someone from the crowd pushed him aside as he was in the lead. But he got back into that race right at the end. And mentally, he had to just get into the right place again, emotionally and physically. He had to get into the right place again to finish the race. He came third. Now, one of the commentaries actually said that the person who, I don't know if this is true, but I thought it was an interesting thought, the person who came first offered him that gold medal and said it should have been yours. But he said, I can't take it. You keep it. For me, this bronze was gold because I managed to finish the race. And because of his heart and his sportsmanship and his attitude, he was awarded that medal. And in 2016, they asked him to light that Olympic flame because of his attitude. And our attitude is so important in the race, isn't it? For us, if it says in the word we run to win a heavenly crown, it's a personal victory. It's not to be in competition with other people. And you know, so often that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to bring in competition. But may the Lord help us to just get back into that personal race that is for each one of us. And I wanted to show that clip because sometimes while we're running, things happen, you know. Life happens and we get pushed aside or we get sidetracked or we kind of come out of that racetrack. Now, just before I carry on with that, I just want to say this, just to lay a foundation and build on what was said last week by George. The day we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts by faith, which everyone can do, is so simple. That day, we became a child of God. We got born again. And I love this bit that's been on Phil and Kathy's heart, this passage, the race. Because I think God wants us to look at it in a different light. To make sure that we are still in that race, you know, that we're not sidetracked, that we're bang on with God's timetable and alignment with God's plan for what he wants to do. And that book, Philippians, was written by Paul. I love that bit where it speaks in the Bible how God just moved in Paul's life on the road of Damascus, and God took a hold of him in such a dramatic way that it turned him around completely. And Saul, that used to be his name, became Paul. And just as zealous as he was to persecute Christians, just as zealous he became to build the church of God. So just that grip that God had on him, it's like he had that grip on all the promises. He had that grip on Jesus to bring all that message to the church. And so many books were written by him. And I was thinking of the grip, how important it is to know that God has a grip on us. If it's appropriate, just put your hand on the person next to you, the shoulder, and just say, he's got you. Or in front, he's got you. Even if you can't see it always, even if you can't feel it always, he's got you. Because he moves in us first. And that enables us to do what he's called us to do. God has a grip on us. I'm so glad about that. If it had to be our grip, we could have lost it, couldn't we? We cannot hold on like that, but God can. Bible says he will complete the work he started. So I was thinking, I'll come back to the race in a minute. I was thinking of this whole principle of grip. When I was at school, I wasn't a runner. Like George said, he was a runner. I think my legs were too short or something. I wasn't a good runner. My poor dad, he was the maths teacher at the secondary high school. And so he wrote me in for this 800 meters. By 400, I said, can I come off the track? I wasn't a long-distance runner. So I had to learn endurance. But one sport that I loved was hockey. I think it's called the ball is on the ground. You don't need length to play that sport. And I think it's just this, to fight for something. It just worked for me. So I absolutely loved hockey. I love to be in this position of center half, where you can kind of help the team. You can help defend and you can help feed the ball forward so the team can win. There was one stage where the teacher moved me forward so I can be one of those who shoot the goal. It didn't work. I said, so you need to put me in the middle where I can help everyone. That worked really well for me. And so, but I was thinking of that hockey stick. Do you know, especially in the winter, if you didn't grip that stick properly and a ball came to you at quite a fast pace, if you tried to stop it, that stick would go flying out of your hand. You'd have to have such a good grip on that stick. You also have to have the correct grip. And if you don't have that correct grip, you can't move the ball to where you need to move it so that that team can win. And it's the same in the spirit. Sometimes you just have to adjust your grip. Sometimes we take a hold of a promise and life happens like it did with that person, that guy. You're running this race, you feel I'm getting there, I'm nearly there, and something happens. You know, you get a phone call and it's not good news about your health. Or it's a financial pressure. Or it's a relational pressure. Or whatever it is. Something can knock us off course. And we lose that grip. But God wants to restore that grip. And I'm so pleased that he still has us. He's never lost his grip on us. Nothing can take us out of his hand. And when we feel we've lost our grip on maybe a promise God has given us or a certain way we're praying, life has knocked us off course, today's the day where the Lord wants to restore that grip and take a hold of that promise once again. And even if you feel, Lord, I've held on to this promise, this is now the seventh year or the eighth year, or maybe it's the first year. Whatever it is, God's grace will be sufficient to see you through. So take heart this morning. Just look at that promise in a fresh light. I think that's where the discipline comes in. That God will give us the strength and the grace to hold on to his promises. So that other part, another part of the scripture that I've just read, letting go of weights and wounds. Letting go of those things that can slow us down. In the Passion Translation, it actually says letting go of wounds that have been caused in your heart. And I thought, that's so interesting. Letting go of wounds. Now, this can mean an emotional wound. We can be wounded emotionally, you know, when no one sees. But we're very aware of it. The physical wounds you can see. But an emotional or a spiritual wound you can't always see. But God sees. And he wants us to be healed of that wound. He wants us to let go of that wound so we can take hold of that promise again. You cannot hold on to a wound and a promise. It's really hard. And it's really hard if you have a deep wound. But God can heal every wound. And it's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to walk it out. And it's a completely different thing to keep on believing while God is healing you. But I always hang on to that verse in Psalm 23 where it says, he will restore my soul. I love that verse. It's just worked for me so many times. But he cannot restore you if you do not know you have a wound. How can he restore something you know that you're not bringing to him? I suppose he can in a sovereign way. But if the Lord wants us to acknowledge, doesn't he, what's in our hearts. And we're very good at covering things up because life gets busy. You know, we get knocked aside. We can just disappear into the crowd. No, don't give up in your race. Never quit. If you don't quit, you can finish well. God doesn't want us to start full of zeal and finish weak. He wants us to finish strong. I remember when we just got to know Jesus, you know, I was so zealous. I was so unwise with my parents, especially. When we got home, I would just tell them about all these things and bring all my books into the house, and my dad would just put it to the side. I'm putting it mildly, he would throw it out the door. And, you know, I had to work through that. I thought, oh, he doesn't like my faith. But I didn't realize I wasn't always that wise. We have to love people first, you know, and then we can share. But I think I've mentioned this before. Eddie once said to me, and it encouraged me. Eddie said, don't apologize for zeal. Just grow in wisdom. It's true. Keep your zeal. Because God will make everything work for good for those who love him. So this morning, if you feel you've been knocked off course, get back on track. If maybe God is just putting his finger on a situation that you haven't dealt with because it's too painful to face, you can't get over a hurdle if you don't face it. You have to face it. It doesn't matter how painful it is. It's not worth carrying that pain. Because it will eat you up from the inside. Let the Lord heal that wound. because he's well able to heal that wound. But for him to do it, you need to bring it to him and say, Jesus, I'm really hurting in this area. I'm struggling with my health. You know, my health has been something that I've talked to the Lord about many times. I still wear this scripture around my wrist in Isaiah 40, verse 31, that says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And I say, I'm waiting on the Lord because I will renew. He will renew my strength. I have a fire in my heart to do many things for God. Lord, you have to make me strong for this dream. You have to make me strong. You have to heal me. Don't stop holding on to God for the promise that's in your heart. And sometimes, you know, we can think, I don't know if this is from the Lord. If I can be very honest with you this morning, I'm just going to share this because we're a messy church, aren't we? So, this is the truth. I've had this dream to preach God's word for many years. I've struggled with this so much, not because I have it, but because I don't have an opportunity. And this is not against Phil and Kathy. This is just the Lord's working in me, okay? So this was even since I was young. I said, Lord, I want to preach your word. And then when the next year, January, comes, I think, is this the year? Is this the year? So I've written it down in all my journals. Oh, is this the year? Is this the year? But we don't know, you know, when we're ready always. But God knows when we're ready. And I used to struggle. I used to think, maybe I'm just so prideful. Maybe I just have so much ambition in my heart that I'm doing this to elevate myself. I had all these thoughts going round and round in my head for years and years and years. But I tell you what, if a dream is from the Lord, it will stay. It will not fade away. So be encouraged. Even if you start with the wrong motive, even if there's things in your life that's not perfect yet, none of us are perfect apart from Jesus. Don't give up on that dream. Because God will open a way. But when God opens a door, remember, with it will come great adversity too. And sometimes we think we're ready and we aren't. And when the door doesn't open, it's actually God's protecting you. So maybe look at it just in a different light and say, thank you, Jesus, for the leaders you've given me. Thank you, Jesus, for the parents you've given me. Whereas I think I want to do this or I want to do that and they don't witness with it fully, thank you, Lord, that that's a form of protection over me. Because God will make the way. And I think the sooner we can see that and the sooner we can just have peace with that, there'll be much more unity in churches. Because we can trust the Lord to bring us into ministries and thank him for the leaders we have. And I speak to myself as well. I didn't plan to say that. It's just come out. Okay, so don't keep looking back. Oh, I had this picture while I was preparing this week. You know how it speaks in the Bible of Lot's wife? When they were leaving and she looked back, what happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt. And I had this little phrase in my head. I felt as if God was saying, be so careful with looking back at your past. Because you can become a bit salty. Have you ever had your children say, you're a bit salty, Mom? We have that in our house. Are you a bit salty? I think there's a truth in that. You know, if we can look back and see God's faithfulness, it's different because it'll build our faith and it will encourage us. But if we look back and we actually walk that way, that's not right. You're becoming salty. Make a turnaround, please, today. Face that way. Reach for the goal and follow the dream God has put in your heart. Get back on track. don't walk backwards. I think we can be honest with what we've been through without walking that way. We need to move forward. You'll never see an athlete running backwards. We need to run forward. Get back on track. We need endurance, persistence, determination, perseverance. I looked into what these words mean, pressing on. Did you know the root idea is to seize something? It's not just a passive word. It's an active word. It doesn't say glide in. It says press in. I think if we could glide in, it would be much easier. But that pressure, because actually we're pressing against that which is pressing against us, isn't it? That pressing in can make us strong. It can build our faith. I heard the story. I don't know if it's true, but it's an interesting principle. That a baby eaglet has a tooth on the front of the beak. And that is so that when they peck their way out of the shell, that helps them. That if they didn't have that, they couldn't peck their way out of that shell, of the egg. And so that's a kind of a pressure. They have to do that to break out. Now, if that's taken away from them, then it takes away from them the strength to become that strong eagle. I was thinking of that principle. I think sometimes we try, this is for the parents, I was thinking, Lord, sometimes we try and just protect our children from so many things. And there's wisdom in that too. But there are times where you just have to leave them so they can learn. I think there's a balance. You know how an eagle has this wingspan? And if these wings are not balance, you can't fly, an eagle can't fly properly. It's the same with us. For us to soar in the spirit, there has to be a balance. There's a place to protect, but there's also a place to just let go and trust the Lord. Because pressure is good for us. It's not always nice. It's not always easy. But pressure is good for us. And so, George mentioned something about us last week, so this week's my turn. I have a wonderful husband and family. I don't know where Dan is. He's hiding because Mom's preaching. But seriously, when we met, it was fireworks. Not as in a bad way, but we were both a little bit older, in our late 20s, and we were both strong-willed. Which we still are, but God is helping us to mellow, you know, as we get older. But I have this encouraging word for us, love, today. I do. I was thinking, what did we do in those years? Now, today it's so easy, you know, we fit. I was thinking of that scripture in Proverbs where it says, iron sharpens iron. So I've read up about that. Do you know what happens when iron rubs against each other? There's friction. I thought, of course, there's friction. There's heat. It can get heated. There can be friction. But if it carries on, that friction, it produces a spark. Now that spark can either be damaging or it can be good. So if you can enhance that spark, it can become revival. Yes, it can become revival. Yes, Jesus, there's always good news with you. And if it hasn't become revival, God can work everything for good for those who love him. Never give up. I want to end with this. Susanna Wesley, do you know who Susanna Wesley is? She was the mother of the Wesleyan brothers, and they were revivalists. She said, "Lord, help me not to be too discouraged with my failures or too impressed with my achievements, but to stay balanced about who I am, that I will have a sober view." Question: what past hurts are holding you back from completing the quest that God has for you? The calling has never changed. It's still the same. Maybe there's been damage along the way. Trust the Lord to heal you. He's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And say that scripture over yourself. Has anything caused the voice of God to become dim? Like an axe that's not so sharp anymore. Maybe you need time to rest. You know, a woodcutter that doesn't sharpen his axe, he won't get very far. You have to take time to sharpen that axe. It doesn't help to just put it to the side. You have to pick it up, rest, and sharpen it. And sometimes we need time out just to sharpen our focus, just to sharpen our sword, just to bring our hearts before the Lord, where we don't even realize things that are hindering us. He will show us. So eliminate and concentrate. Get back on track. Keep pressing in to the blessing. Amen.